back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM here at the Radford Lot, KCAL Channel 9. Turn your TV on. And in about 32 minutes, you're going to see myself, Tim Conway Jr., and Brian Whitman, joined by Danny Bonaducci. Nice to see you, man.
Look
at you, dude.
How's it going, guys?
All right.
All
we're
right.
Doing excellent.
It is great to see you, Danny.
Nice to see you.
All right. Now, I invited Danny on the show last week. It was a series of text messages
right
back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of text.
Yeah, so am I, because you really don't have to talk to anybody.
It's also like this microphone. It makes you much more powerful and with less fear.
Right, exactly.
There are things I say over the radio that I go home and then say to my girlfriend, well, of course, I was kidding. I was on the radio.
Right, exactly.
But if I looked at her and said, God, you're a bitch. Right. That you can't go, oh, it was a bit. I want Corolla to do this.
That's right. Too real life.
Yeah. Then you get smacked.
You can't
and don't get
that.
Me. And, yeah.
But so I said, Danny, you know, can you come on? We're having Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on the show. Could you come on as well? And you wrote back. You said, is Whitman still mean to me on the air?
Yes.
And then I wrote back saying, I'm not sure what that means. I don't think he's ever been mean to you. And you said, we don't go after our own.
Yes.
And I said, are you going to come on? And then you said it was a couple of F's, and I'm not sure what it said after that.
Really, once I start using words that begin with F, that my conversation's really over.
Well, it begs the question. I mean, and
sometimes I'll use them with the PH just to throw things off a little
right
bit.
And it puts me in an awkward spot because, Danny, I hope you know. See, already,
I don't know if you got the message from him when he left a message.
I called it home.
I got your message also.
Danny, I've known you since I'm literally 15 years old.
Yeah.
I love you. Tim read the text message. I said, why is he mad at me? I got enough with Lycus being pissed off at me.
Why is Lycus pissed off?
Oh, he's pissed. He's in that, in my opinion. So, but you're not mad at me, are you?
No. I thought I was mad at you.
You thought you were.
Yeah. Which is totally different.
So then let's hash this out, because I can't have any problems.
Right. I could think I'm having a heart attack right now. I just go, God, I think I'm having a heart attack, and then be completely wrong because I'm not a doctor. I thought I was mad at you, but it turns out I'm totally not in control of my emotions. So it really wasn't anyone's fault at all.
Oh, I see. All right. Well,
all right.
I like to pull that with my wife sometimes.
No,
I thought I was, but
somebody,
it was just my emotions.
Somebody said that you had said something derogatory about me, and I took it personally, and it turns
what was
out.
What was it that he said?
Oh, no, Danny.
Do you remember?
No.
Something to the effect of, will Danny's comments ruin the Adam Carolla show?
No, Danny.
Brian, David,
No.
Oh.
No, please, no. Danny.
Yes, what?
You have to know. Here's what I can't have.
Right.
I mean, with you, especially with you. I mean, I've known you forever.
Right.
I've known Tom forever, too, but it's just, I don't know, he's after me, in my opinion. I can't have you angry with me.
I'm not angry with you.
You promise?
You can't afford it, right?
No, I can't afford it, really. I mean, at some point they'll say, nobody likes this guy. Get him the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Serious biz. And I don't mean to come off like some kind of tough guy or anything like that. If I'm mad at you, you'll know. I'll tell you.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. So we're fine.
Will you tell, and how many times would you tell him before you hit him?
You know what? Look at my hands. I just can't hit anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's so expensive.
What happened?
Tim, excuse me. Would you mind if I embraced Danny, if I stepped over there for a moment just to embrace him?
Yeah, sure. I can do what you want. But, boom. Oh, my.
All right. Very good.
Oh, my.
All righty.
That was lovely.
That was actually nice, actually.
Now, wait, just because I'm a tad confused, which one of you wears women's clothes and stands in line to see Barry Manilow?
Oh. the guy you just hugged.
See, that's how rumors get started, Tim.
Now, I thought for sure you were going to grab him and throw him over your shoulder.
No.
I didn't neep him. I didn't jump up on his face.
The guy didn't rub any part of his genitalia on any part of my upper body.
Yeah, that's coming.
Now, are you allowed to say where that stands, or that whole issue with the guy who jumped
up? Where his genitalia stands?
No,
around my throat, pretty close.
Because I think
right on my Adam's apple the last time I saw it.
I think any reasonable person who saw that video thought it looked like he attacked you. He jumped up on you, and you just got him off you.
Well, here's exactly what happened. Is I don't like this guy, which probably is not a smart thing to say since he's suing me. But I don't like him, and I don't know anybody that likes him. His name is Johnny Fairplay, and he's the guy that cheated at Survivor by, they said, you can bring in the person you love the most for one day to the island and visit with them. People brought their moms and their wives and their kids or whoever it was, the one person.
And he brought the executive producer?
And he brought his grandmother, who raised him, who all by herself worked three jobs, scrubbing floors, that kind of thing.
Oh, that sounds sweet.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
And then this guy gets off the boat and says, we didn't want to tell you during the show, but grandma's dead. And everybody weeps and everybody cries. And people that are already starving are giving this guy extra food. Cut to the other side of the island, and he and his buddy are high-fiving and laughing hysterically.
Oh, no.
Grandma's just fine.
Oh, boy.
Grandma's just fine.
Very deceitful.
So then when he realizes that that kind of deceit and downright evil, if you will, is not popular with the American public, if you want to be evil, it has to be kind of negotiated carefully.
Like in a Simon Cowell kind of way.
Exactly.
Right.
So it didn't work for him, and he tried to become a professional villain. He's tried, as far as I understand, wrestling, and that didn't work because he's little. So he tried being an evil manager of a wrestler, and that didn't work for him because he's too stupid. And he's tried all these things, and it didn't work. And I was at the Reality Awards for the best reality show. And when you're at a reality show, awards show, not anything can happen. Anything is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. You're hoping for that. And I was leaving the show. My bit was done. And he was on stage, and he wasn't reading the prompter, which moved the show along.
Sure.
I'm Johnny Fairplay, and tonight we're honoring this guy. All he was saying is people were booing. And he's saying, why are you booing me? Why are you people booing? Why boo? Why are you booing me? And as I was getting near the stage, I thought, well, that's a fair question. Somebody should probably answer this guy. So I walked up on stage, and I said, come here. And he came over, and I didn't touch him. He put the microphone towards my mouth, and I said, dude, they're booing because they hate you. And the audience just went crazy because they did. They hated him.
Someone was giving voice to what they're feeling.
So I left the stage, and he actually grabbed me, stopped me, and he said, wait right here. And he ran back about 5-6 steps. So I'm thinking, something bad is about to happen here. Because, you know, some people have a spider sense. I've been hit in the face 55 times since. You know, I just know when somebody's going to punch me in the face. And he starts running at me. He has the microphone in his hand. And I think, okay, I'm going to just tag him and knock him out the second he gets here. And then I looked at my hands, and I was wearing all this pirate jewelry. I had like all these skulls and crosses and all this stuff. And I thought, even though I'm the good guy here, if I hit him with this fistful of rings, it's going to do so much damage, I will look like the bad guy.
You might knock his teeth out.
So, well, from your mouth to God's ear.
Right.
I put my hands at my side. I mean, literally, like I'm a toy soldier. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happened, you could tell I didn't want any part of it. I figured whatever he could throw, I could take, and then I would just go home.
And you're making this calculation as he's kind of running toward
this you. Is happening like in a split second.
Right.
Because, you know, you're going to hit a guy or you're not. That's, you know, you don't get two chances. So I decided not. And I put my hands down, and he jumped up on me, and he wrapped his legs around my arms and waist, pinning my arms to my side. And then he put his hands around my neck. Now, I wasn't sure if we were fighting or not. If we were fighting, I thought I was about to get a headbutt right to the face. Mm. And then he started gyrating his genitalia on my chest. And
whoa.
This is where everybody thinks I manly threw him over my head. What really happened is I went, ew, yuck. And she's kind of like my wife would have done if she'd gone, ooh, a mouse. But the guy weighs a buck and a quarter. Mm-hmm. And he went flying. Over my head. Right. And unfortunately, when they were teaching the laws of Newton, such as in gravity, not as in fig, but as in gravity, he failed to pay attention because he did nothing to protect himself on the way down. He just landed right on his Johnny Fair teeth.
Oh, and boy. Knocked his teeth out.
A lot of his teeth came out.
How many did he lose? Do you know how many?
I think he said on the news he lost 3. But I know there's a funny
shot.
They're
not the important ones. They're the front ones?
Yeah, they're
good
ones.
Oh, that's
but what was sad was I thought the whole thing must have been cleared up because they showed it on the television show 100 times.
Kept repeating it.
Over and over and over. And what had happened is he's crawling around the floor looking for his teeth, and a cameraman finds one of them. So they've got a close-up of his tooth over here on the left, and he's on all fours looking for his teeth over here on the right. So he went to the hospital, and I didn't even know he had gotten hurt. I didn't even think about it. So I went outside, and I valeted my car. They brought my car, and just as my car came, these ambulances pulled up, and I went, well, I wonder what happened in there. And I got my car, and I went home. And the next day, because I started my day with TMZ just to see if I'm on it naked, and usually I am, and there's this thing that he's been really injured and hurt and that he's pressing charges, and he pressed felony battery charges against him.
Against you. Yeah. So they're pending those charges.
No. Now, the DA, who has indicted me twice before and found me guilty.
On what charges?
All sorts of stuff. How much time you got?
Wait, that specific DA has charged you?
DAs and DAs.
Oh, DAs in general. All right.
The DA all across the country wear the DA suit. You can just say the DA, and you can mean the DA of Cleveland, and you could still pick him out of a lineup. Go, oh, you're the DA.
Right.
It's just easy to do.
Right.
So this particular DA, who has indicted me twice before and found me guilty, was correct both times. I did the crime that he accused me of. He said you had drugs on you. And I said, yes, Your Honor, I did, because the words not guilty have never come out of my mouth. It's like the only two words that have never come out of my mouth simultaneously, not and then guilty. I really did it. Once I actually pled incredibly guilty. The judge said, guilty will be sufficient, Mr. Bonaducci. And I said, okay, guilty. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool because the DA this time said it is clear that Mr. Fairplay initiated physical contact with Mr. Bonaducci and Mr. Bonaducci merely acted in self-defense. And I thought, that's three times the DA has picked me, and he's been right three out of three times. I'm going to start playing the same lotto numbers as this DA because he's really, really good. So the charges have been dismissed immediately.
Good. Is he suing you personally?
He's suing me personally.
Just like a civil lawsuit.
So you got a lot of things going on in your life. You got the divorce going on.
Got the divorce.
You got this lawsuit going on.
Yep.
Anything else in the hopper?
I got a radio show.
I got a radio show in the morning with Adam Carolla and Teresa Strasser.
Running the risk of digressing here, is it real tough to get it up for the reality TV awards? I mean, is it tough?
What sense?
I mean, is it tough to get, like, you know, your wardrobe together, get a meal in you, get down there and be excited about it?
Oh, no. Now, no. Are you kidding? You know, it's a cliche in show business, but I would go to the opening of an envelope. You know, you invite me to go to any kind of party where there's going to be food and chicks.
All right, but you get excited.
You're still, like, excited about show business.
Totally. Well, it's the only thing I really know how to do. I mean, I am... I met the girl who I am currently living with, and her name is tattooed right there.
Is that right?
How soon after? Amy. Oh, yeah.
I got that 3 days after I met her.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. It was very quick that you tatted up.
I met her the same day that my wife asked for a divorce. I was, thank you to the morning show that I met her. I was sitting at the coffee bean. My wife had asked for a divorce, and I thought, well, I could either blow my brains out or go to Starbucks. I'm going to go to Starbucks. So I went to Starbucks, and I'm weeping openly because I also stand in line for Barry Manilow tickets. So I'm just crying like a baby. And I don't mean the kind of manly cry like the Native American with the one teardrop.
The wailing.
You were wailing.
I was weeping and wailing and doing this.
Oh, heaving?
Oh, my God. It was horrifying.
And all of a sudden,
I hear this girl's voice, and this will give you an idea of what an instantaneous dog I am. My heart is broken. I don't know if I'm going to live. My wife... the woman of my dreams that I've been married to for almost 20 years has asked for a divorce. And then this girl's voice says, I really like your show in the morning. And my first thought is, I wonder if these tears are going to work for me. That was my very first thought. And I thought, no, two eyes is too much. So I wiped one eye completely clear, but left one eye tearing. And I turned around and I went... Thank you.
Yeah, you were like who was the Indian?
Iron Eyes Cody.
Yeah, you were like Iron Eyes Cody.
Who was Italian.
Who was Italian, and so am I. So I was just like Iron Eyes Cody.
Perfect. It works out well.
So I met her, and she told me what a fan she was of the show, and then she told me that she had actually been to my book signing 7 years ago, and so that we had met. I didn't remember her at all, but we several hundred people, thank God, showed up at that book signing. And we started talking, and I ended up going to her house, and I never went back.
Did you have sex with her that day?
No, the woman made me wait.
For what, that night?
I know, weeks.
Wow.
Really?
But I got to tell you something, because I really was devastated by the... I mean, I don't have an ill word to say about my soon-to-be ex-wife.
Right.
She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And I was truly devastated. So I got to be honest with you. I don't remember clearly the first few weeks of the separation. Like, Amy will say, and then you remember when you did this on that day? And I'll say, no, that was weeks before that or weeks after that. And I'll be off in time forever.
Danny, I heard, and you can tell me if this is true or not, and if it's none of my business or the audience's business, tell us that, too.
There's no part of my life that is not the audience's business.
All right, then I'll ask.
As long as we're in front of a microphone, you can ask.
Somebody told me that in this proceeding with your, and your soon-to-be former wife, who's a lovely woman. And I know
wonderful woman.
I know you care about her very much. I know you love her very much.
Yes, I do.
Somebody told me that you were not at all, this was not like a bitter divorce. You basically gave her everything you have. Is that true, or am I hearing rumors?
No, it is both true and untrue. I tried to give her everything I have, and they wouldn't let me, which I thought was very weird. We weren't going to use a lawyer. I said, don't get a lawyer. It will cost you money. let's just split everything in half, and then I'll write you a check for 50 grand for not using a lawyer, because that's at least what that would cost. So I'll give you an extra 50 G's for not calling a lawyer, and then we'll go to...
I'd like to divorce you.
Oh, dude, you would have, because you'd have been smart about it. And then I said, we'll go to one of those arbitrators who figures out what fair alimony and child support is. But don't use a lawyer, because we'll just split it all right now. No problem at all.
And she called a lawyer.
She filled out all the paperwork, and then she got scared that it might not be done right and called a lawyer who said, I'll need a $5,000 retainer, which she gave him. And the second she gave it to him, he said, you can no longer talk to your husband about this. And I can't talk to your husband. Your husband has to go hire a lawyer.
Oh, Christ.
So then I went and hired a lawyer, and he quit because I tried to give her everything. I just wrote a letter, which I had notarized, that said I would like 5 pairs of jeans, 10 shirts, and all my boots.
All right. And when you say everything, you own 3 or 4 homes.
I own several homes, and I figure we've got...
You got a big home in Chicago.
I figure we've got a few million bucks, yeah.
Right. And you're going to give her everything.
Yeah, all of it.
So your attorney, let me follow this, said, your attorney said to you, I'm not going to represent you because you're not fighting.
Said, none of my clients are going to go into court rich and come out poor. It will make me look awful.
Oh, I see. Right. He's really worried about his reputation.
I said, I really don't care, but I understand. But her lawyer said, a judge won't accept this. This is, I know that everybody thinks that the woman gets everything and the man gets screwed in a divorce, and usually the woman does fairly well in the state of California, but no judge is going to let your husband walk away penniless. As much as we would all like to take this.
And as much as he's willing to do it, so you were willing to do that.
I got a new lawyer, a wonderful woman named Gail Cohn, and she is representing me. And I said, just do what is exactly fair. Don't take a penny that I don't need, and don't give a penny that she hasn't earned or deserves.
Right, but wasn't there a point when you were still living with her, even though you're divorced?
Yeah, I lived in the... Well, we had a very... Our house is gigantic.
And you brought your girlfriend back to the house?
Yes. Well, she had to approve her.
She had to, the ex-wife had to approve the new girl.
Yeah, because we had a rule that we would have no men or women over at our house as long as we were still living under the same roof for 2 separate reasons. One, because I think bringing a girl over to my house would have been disrespectful and a bad example for the children, and bringing a man over to my house would have been a death sentence for this poor bastard. So we made this rule, but I started seeing Amy almost right away, and I said, you know, I pretty much already have a girlfriend. You should probably meet her. So she met Amy, and then Amy and I got in a big fight, and I went to break up with her. And Gretchen, my soon-to-be ex-wife, said, we'll get back together with her. And I said, I don't want to. I said, I'm stupid. I want to be single for a while. I want to sleep around. And she goes, you did sleep around, honey. That's why we're getting a divorce. And
wow.
I said, okay, I want to sleep around without costing me millions, okay? I just don't want to get back together right now. And she said, I like Amy. She's a school teacher. She's good around my children. She's well-educated. She has excellent manners. Mm-hmm. I pick Amy. And I said, well, what if I don't pick Amy? And she goes, there are no other women at this house. So if you want to get me, you're getting back together with Amy.
Now, Danny, you revealed something there. So forgive me. I have a follow-up question. And I'll use what you said earlier. As we're in front of a microphone, I can ask you anything. So you did cheat on your wife?
Yes.
How many times?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Thousands?
Oh, no.
Hundreds.
No. I mean, I was actually pondering that like a real question. Yes, thousands of times.
No.
Literally thousands. Matter of fact, if I had a dollar for every time I cheated on her, this divorce would cost me nothing.
No. So, no, was it like, were you, and again, stop me when it's inappropriate, were you just like hooking up with other chicks, or were you in a relationship with someone else? I mean,
I have very wide parameters of cheating, as long as it's me. If you're my wife and you look at a guy and you give him the opinion that he could have you, that's cheating. With me, if you learn their name, that's cheating.
Right.
But you can actually have sex with them as long as you don't know their name. You're not really cheating.
Right.
Holding hands and walking in the moonlight, that's cheating. Mm-hmm. That's an affair. Sex in the back seat of a car, and that's not really easy in my new Honda, which is a 2-seater.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that on the radio, that car.
Well,
it's a bitch to do it in. I'll tell you that right now.
And thank God. You know, a lot of kids that grow up on TV are really screwed up later on in life, but thank God.
That I turned out okay.
You've made it.
I think that every day when I wake up and I take my lithium and my Percocet, I think, you know, thank God I'm all right.
All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll be on TV on Channel 9 KCAL. So turn your TV on, and we're joined by Danny Bonaducci. And so in exactly 4 minutes, we'll be on, and then we'll be on again in about 13 minutes. So zip home, turn your TV on Channel 9. And we'll see you in a bit. Thanks for coming by, Danny Bonaducci. Also, it's the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right. right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM and joined by Danny Bonaducci as well as Paul Majors, everybody. Look at him.
Yes.
Looking good.
Biggest stud in all of news, and he'll tell you that, man. He talks about how many suits the guy's got off the air. It's crazy. But you're going to be on tonight at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
And you guys, you're going to finally get a Sunday off coming up here, huh?
Yeah, we've been working Sundays, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have, you know, 2 days in a row. That'll be
great. Yeah, look at you.
Novel idea.
How long has it been since you've had two in a row?
Just a week.
No. A long time, right?
Feels like a lifetime. Yeah, every rating period they have is worth
it. Is that why you work the weekends? Because the ratings are going on. That's why?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know why. So I saw you on.
Are you working 7 days a week then?
Six days
a week.
It's Saturday off.
They give you Saturday off.
Yeah.
Off.
Now, somebody told me during the break that I can't remember who it was. Is either they told me this about Danny or about Paul, but one of you is on TMZ nude with a hustler chick.
That wouldn't be me.
Or Penthouse chick?
Danny?
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be you?
No.
Damn. Unfortunately, my girlfriend is actually a math teacher, so I guess that leaves me. I am on TMZ right now naked. It was an accident.
Totally naked.
Yes, unfortunately. And I went to make up for it. I said on the radio show that, because it was a bad picture and it was very cold. And
oh boy!
I said I'd really like to make up for that, but I can't find a place to pose naked and still be posing in a magazine that is for straight people. And Penthouse called me up and said, "Would you like to appear naked with the Penthouse Pet of the Year?" And I don't think the question was fully out of his mouth when I said yes.
Right.
I think he was still saying hello when I was saying yes.
So now what is that photo shoot like, Danny? Describe that.
It turns out we're not doing it. I went into our boss's office today and I said, this is the coolest thing, man. I'm going to be in the March issue of Penthouse fully naked with a fully naked Penthouse Pet of the Year. And maybe some other naked chicks just haphazardly running around. Frolicking was the word I used.
Good word.
Naked chicks frolic. You know, and they,
so you tried to sell it to them.
Yeah.
You know what's cool about this? You don't even have to blow yourself up.
No. And he said no. He said, I think we would frown on you appearing naked in Penthouse magazine. And I said, but that shot of me in the freezing cold in that terrible position, I got to make up for that. And they said, no, can't do it. So,
is that right?
Well, why did they say no? Yeah.
They didn't give me a reason. I don't ask for reasons from my bosses.
In fairness, and I don't want this to sound rude, with everything that's on the record that they're like obviously cool with.
Yeah.
What's up with a little nudity? Now they're sensitive to your reputation?
I don't really know exactly because the picture that's on TMZ, it's from a party they threw.
Oh, so this is recently.
Yeah. It's from a station event. So the pictures that are on TMZ right now are from a station event.
And it was your boss who said, Danny, take off your clothes and go stand over there for a while.
Yeah, essentially that's what they said.
Safety shot. Hold on. Safety shot.
Well, here's what happened is when you are newly in love, you hit the gym. That's what happens. You try and lose some weight, and I thought I was in some pretty good shape. And there, I was at this event called the Erotic Exotic Ball in San Francisco. I was the MC or something like that. And the Chippendales dancers were out on stage, and I was backstage. And this girl comes up to me, and she says, you know, you're old enough to be their father, and you're in better shape than they are. You should go on out there. And I said, no, let's leave it to the professionals. But they did the song, You Can Leave Your Hat On. And at the end, they were all stark naked, except they had hats over themselves. And I thought, well, I'll do that. So I ripped off all my clothes, grabbed some guy's hat, and went out on stage and covered myself with the hat and stood there naked with the Chippendales guys, just thinking, well, how cool is this? Because I am in better shape than the guy to the right who's a little chubby. So, I mean, his body was a little chubby.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
But by reflex, they all took a bow. And by reflex, I joined them, and I went, oh, my goodness. But in that split second, somebody got the world's worst shot. Imagine being in the middle of a bow.
So you're like curtsying almost.
In a freezing room.
In a cold room.
Right.
It just looked like, wow, I see why he works out so much. It's to make up for where he is not being.
All right. Now, people can't see this on because it's on radio, but that hand of yours, the left hand, you have an open sore.
I do not have an open sore.
Or whatever. That thing is right there. That cut. Well, how did you get that? That looks like you need stitches on that.
I box every day, and I never wrap my hands.
If I had that, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'd be at Cedars if I had that cut on.
Over that?
The one under the Band-Aid?
When I have this one's full of titanium. I looked at it, and the bone was sticking up through my arm.
What was that from?
As from a motorcycle crash.
Oh, Jesus.
And my first thought was, do I really need a doctor, or can I fix this?
What's the closest you've come to death?
That's a bad thought, by the way.
The closest I've come to death? I'm not sure. I know the closest I've ever thought I've come to death, but apparently I wasn't even close. Some girl shot me once, and I thought.
She hit you?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of gun?
22.
Where'd you get shot?
Well, when I tell the story for drama or for reality? For drama, I took one to the chest.
How about reality?
The armpit.
Really?
Yeah.
But that bullet can go anywhere.
Dude, the bullet went right through my lat, so it went right in and out. But what really hurt, it was pressed up against my flesh.
What was she angry?
Did you deserve it?
Yeah. She was mad about the girl in the closet.
Oh.
Well, you know, who isn't, really?
Yeah.
Well, the girl wasn't in the closet when the morning
started. We've all been shot before, but we didn't have the girl in the closet going on.
The girl wasn't originally in the closet. The girl was originally asleep. And when the other girl walked in with the gun,
joining us here at KCAL 9 News at 9.
Oh. Yeah, it comes courtesy of Tim Conway Jr. and Brian Whitman and their special guest, who is Dana Bonaducci, joining us in the studio there. The 97.1 Free FM disc jockeys are doing their nightly radio show from our newsroom this evening. I understand at least one of them enjoys a good spanking.
Guys, I don't know if you were able to hear our last story, but it was on a proposal in Massachusetts that would ban spanking in the home. So, you know, we thought that would naturally be a good subject for you to talk about
tonight. Yeah, well, as Chris Rock says, they're not your kids until you hit them.
There you go.
Well, first of all, spanking whom?
Yeah, spanking the kids,
I have an
entire
drawer devoted to spanking, and it has nothing to do with my children.
No, I think, obviously, I've been hit as a kid. But every time I was smacked, I knew that I had done something wrong. These kids nowadays, they'll call a lawyer. They're like 10 or 12 years old. A friend of mine has a daughter, and he said, go do your homework. And she said no, and she used a swear word. And so he grabbed her by the shirt and threw her in her room. And she said, I'm going to call 911.
Oh.
He picks up the phone, dials 911, and gives it to her. And says, you think I'm afraid of those guys? You don't think I could off you before they get here?
Yeah. But what happened?
The cops show up.
Yeah.
And he's been in jail for about 6 years.
Because my daughter's first words were daddy, and her second words were, I'll call 911. They learn that in school right away. It's like, you're afraid of them.
Now, Danny, I don't want to perpetuate the myth that you're a bad guy or there's something wrong with you or you've done bad things in your life.
Okay, one out of three. I've done bad things.
All right. Were you hit as a child?
Oh, yeah.
You were a child who were...
But I have never spanked ever in my entire life.
So you don't... Your kids you'd never hit.
Oh, no. I'd beat her like crazy if I could get away with it. Right. But I don't think it's worth the... I don't think spanking worked. I mean, I did not turn out to be the best adult until my mid-40s. I really started.
Yeah, you should be the poster
together.
Child for never hit your
never
kid.
Never hit your kid. It really doesn't work out. But it does end a discussion rather quick.
Oh, yes, it does.
I'll argue with my 12-year-old for an hour and a half. My dad would get me one to the head. Argument was over. He won.
Wraps things up.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got about a minute left here. There was a presidential debate tonight, the Republican debate. YouTube took part in this.
Yeah.
Any questions you would have typed in if you had an opportunity?
Well, I think what they overlooked is the fact that Frosty, Heidi, and Frank made the number one afternoon show in LARadio.com.
And nobody brought that up.
Nobody brought that up. Unbelievable.
I think they also failed to bring up that you won number one for nice.
Thank you very much. Yes.
None of these candidates, you know, they're
asking political questions.
They're avoiding the real issues.
Are you legal? Are you not legal? Who cares?
Come on.
Talk about the shows.
Once again, congratulations on that. I don't know if our viewers caught it, but Brian and Tim, number one nighttime radio show, talk show.
Yes, thank you.
We're really proud of you.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, number one, too. And it's because of you guys, too. You know, this time that we've had on KCAL has really boosted our ratings here on 97.1.
Oh. Well, we'll take the pat
we'll
on the back.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We thank you guys.
Right. Okay, thanks, right, guys. Thanks, have a great night.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, it's time now to take
a break.
Now, I wanted to let the time run out on that because, obviously, if you won number one and everybody said congratulations and Heidi, Frosty, and Frank took number one and everybody said congratulations and then I just kind of... I don't know, sat here. Again, as I said, my girlfriend is a math teacher. It kind of leads me to believe, again, just deductive reasoning, Socratic logic.
Got it.
Says I may not have been on the number one show in Los Angeles.
Yeah, however, I've been on 11 years. Frosty and Frank have been on 8 years. You've been on one or two.
I haven't even been on a year yet.
Not even a year yet. It's been, January will be
but
a year?
But it's the Adam Carolla show, and he's been on a couple of years, and his ratings have gone from, you know, trying to replace Stern could not have been an easy task.
Please, please.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that had to be. And he had no fear about it, as I understand it. He's walked in and said, you know, basically I read an article on him today, and he said, I don't depend on my talent. I depend on all the other morning shows suck, so I just have to be mediocre.
And well, there is not a funnier guy in radio.
Than
Adam Carolla.
Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving. You're just a question flying in the air, because I was going to agree with you completely. Right, yeah.
But I thought it was the match game all of a sudden here.
Right? I'm going to get with Adam Carolla for 20?
That is...
No, I agree. And I also agree that mediocre in this business really will win in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I think being good is a deterrent. If you're too good, if you're too informative, if you give too much information, you overload people. They're on their way to do things that gives them information, and they're going to have to do tasks.
Right, so take it easy on them.
Just take it easy. Have a nice conversation. Pass out the information in a conversational manner. You don't want to really overload people, and we don't do that. Although Carolla does it every now and again, and then I just wreck it with some sort of, you know, horrible B kind of blue joke.
I've got to say this before we got to go, because I know you got to get up in the morning, but I saw the thing on YouTube that you got your life threatened over, where a guy came out and said, you know, why did you, you know, do you support the fact that, or to support the information that the World Trade Center was an inside job, and you went ape-ass on the guy?
Well, he came up to me coincidentally while I was eating a steak. So I happened to have a big steak knife in my hand while he was calling my president a murderer.
Right.
And I told him that the penalty for doing that is treason and the penalty is death. And I'm busy, so I don't have time to wait for your trial. Right. So I would suggest you get out of the way of this knife immediately.
Is it in a restaurant of some sort?
Unfortunately for him, it was an outdoor cafe. Or fortunately for him, because it was very easy for him to skedaddle, which he did. But
you got to check out that piece. What is it listed under?
I have no idea. I saw it the one time. And you know what? I ended up getting so much. These guys that believe in. Did you know a full third of the country? I didn't know this till I ended up doing a bunch of talk shows about it. A full third of the country believes that the United States government had some hand in 9/11.
It's amazing, isn't it? It really is.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Paul and Brian are in that group.
What's your problem?
No, really, it is. You know, people will believe anything. I mean, people, I think, are searching for answers. I mean, in every aspect of their life, they'll really believe anything.
Yeah, but to be in a search for answers means you have to have a question. And I don't believe these people have a question. I think they just want to have a purpose. They just want to have something meaningful happen in their drudgery drone-like lives. And this, to have a common goal and a common enemy, gives them that. Mm-hmm. They should just pick the right enemy. Having a good enemy can be fun.
Yeah, but like when I'm told something by management of the station, like Jack Silver told me something the other day, and he says, don't tell anybody, and he laid this on me, right? Like 2 hours later, somebody else repeated that same information to me.
Right.
If we can't keep it in our station for more than an hour, how's the United States government going to keep it concealed for years?
Exactly right.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
This is the same government that can't hide that we pay $400 for a hammer. Right. You know, that we just, you know, we can't keep a secret to save our lives. And, you know, ever since Nixon got busted, government stopped being fun anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
there's,
it's supposed to be intrigue and cloak and dagger stuff. Now you can't assassinate the leader of a foreign country. What good is that? What a huge time saver that would be.
All right, Danny, I know you got to get up early in the morning. Thanks for coming by. Danny Bonaducci every morning, folks, on KLSX 97.1 Free FM. Paul Majors will stay with us here, and we'll continue on 97.1 Free FM as well as KCAL Channel 9. Thanks a lot, Danny.
Thank you.
We're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM as well as KCAL tonight, Channel 9. So turn your TV on to Channel 9. And joining us are Paul Majors from Channel 2. He's on 11 o'clock every night, also 5 p.m. And Glenn Walker. Nice to see you, dude.
Good to see you.
And these guys, he's on Channel 9. He's on for a week, off for a week. I guess you and Rick Chambers share a locker room.
And Channel 2.
And
weekend.
Channel 2. Yeah. I do both.
Weekend anchor.
All over the
place. I go both ways.
See you on
TV.
See you on all the time. You talk to us. I don't know how many weeks ago it was, but during the fires, not this most recent round of fires in
Malibu. 4 weeks ago.
4 weeks ago, and you were in Malibu at Duke's on the
live farm. From Duke's parking lot.
Right. And the hair looked great, and it's all yours. It's all natural. I mean, it really is. It's unbelievable. For a guy who's, you must be in your 40s.
Oh,
just
sure,
had a birthday.
Whatever you say.
You just had a birthday? How old?
Yeah.
How
old? You want me to tell you? Tell him.
The big 5-0.
No.
Get out of here.
Are you kidding me?
November 1st, yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah, let me 50. See that license. You got a license on you?
It's back at the desk, but it's
are you,
legit.
Are you
50 years
November
old?
November 1st, 1957.
Holy!
How come you guys never say this crap to me?
Well, because I think you BS us about your age.
When you come in and say you're 31, Paul, I mean,
doesn't work, huh?
No, but honest to God,
and then you have a 40-year-old daughter. I
mean, Glenn Walker, we were having, and I don't know why it came up, but oh yes, we were talking on the air about your living situation because you had a roommate and Tim was giving you a hard time. Okay, off the air, and this is true. I don't know if you remember it, Tim, but I do. We were off the air wondering how old you might be because we were looking at you on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I said 39.
Yes, you did. He said 39.
Well, a friend of his was just going to throw a surprise. Yeah, I don't know if he knew. He was, couldn't do it. I can't remember what happened, but I got an email, you know, come to the surprise birthday party.
That was Jody.
Yeah. And so I saw the 5-0, and I went, what? I mean, he doesn't look 50.
No,
I admit.
It's not 50. Yeah. But also, if you throw a guy a surprise party after about age 12.
Yeah.
He should have the legal right to kill you.
You don't like surprise parties?
No. And who likes a surprise party? Who likes surprise anything age 12?
Or after the age of, like, 21, costume Halloween things.
Exactly.
You know why? Because you're 21. Stuck in that stupid outfit. You know, you get there and it's, hey, oh, you look cool. Then you're standing around for 3 hours wearing the stupid stuff.
You know, Paul comes from the Midwest when he goes, I've locked it off. I'm not going trick-or-treating after 21.
What's no even better is when you show up to a costume party and you get a mix-up and you're the only one with a costume. That's even worse.
Oh, that's never really.
Well, that's when Conway was a kid. He tells a great story. I know we have to take a break, but you were in high school and there was a Halloween party and you
and I thought everyone was going to dress up, so I dressed up. Ooh. And the guys picked me up in the car. Nobody's dressed up. I'm like dressed up like as a woman, right? So I go change real quickly, and I go out to the party, and you know there's pot smoking and all kinds of drinking, underage drinking stuff, and I still have like eyeliner on.
What a stud,
Iggy Pop!
Spread the start of the rumors for good. All right, Paul Majors is joining us. Also, Glenn Walker. We got to take a break, and we'll come back for more. We're going to be on TV at 10:35 again.
Yeah, so I would recommend, would you recommend to the listeners to, how do you do it? Turn the volume of the radio down and turn the TV up? What's the best way to experience it?
Just shut the radio off.
All right.
No, Pat Harvey and Rick Chambers will be with us at, or we'll be with them at 10:35. So turn on your TV to Channel 9, unless there's a high-speed chase, and then we'll see you tomorrow night. All right, so Glenn Walker, myself, Tim Conway Jr., Brian Whitman, and Paul Majors, live on 97.1 Free FM.